Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Sabina Bailey is an American-based multilingual vocalist, performer, and musician hailing from Azerbaijan that began her music career at the age of 13. From becoming the youngest ever nationally recognized fortepiano player with the Azerbaijan National Symphonic Orchestra, to reaching the finals of The Voice Kids Turkey in the mid-2010s, Sabina's career has only been on an upward trajectory since she took her first strides within the industry. Climbing the heights of becoming a finalist to represent her home country in the globally esteemed Eurovision contest, her Spanish language single Maria Maria has reached over 15 million YouTube views, and her work with producers including Sky Limones and platinum producer J.D. Walker has captivated audiences the globe over. Receiving support across the globe from renowned publications and outlets including BBC Music, Wonderland Magazine, Refinery 29, and many more, her unique blend of impassioned and raw pop draws in audiences worldwide. With over 16.5 million YouTube views alone and streams in the six figures on Spotify. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Sabina Bailey. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm currently in Boston, Massachusetts, in my apartment. Came right after my classes.
And what are you studying at the moment?
I'm studying songwriting at Berklee College of Music.
So what goes into a course like that? Is it only songwriting or what other subjects are there?
Oh, there are so many different subjects. We have lyric writing, which focuses mostly on lyrics and how to like properly portray a story, make sure it's like grammatically correct and all of that. We have songwriting, which is more musical, like the chord progressions and all of that. But we also have a lot of music theory classes and like ear training classes, conducting classes, which is kind of irrelevant, but we have to take those as well. A bunch of things.
And what is ear training classes? What does that mean?
It's exactly how it sounds. It's basically you train your ear by learning about like rhythms, all kinds of rhythms.
Oh, okay.
And also, yeah, like basically being able to sing a note by looking at it without hearing it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's fascinating. Ah, that's
it's pretty complicated.
Is it quite hard? Is it quite hard to get the knack of?
Honestly, I personally think it is hard.
Okay.
But it depends on your level of pitch, because some kids have like perfect pitch. For example, Charlie Puth, like you can hear literally anything and be able to tell what note it is.
Yes.
I don't have that. So I have to like train it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen him do that on a couple of talk shows. Yeah. I remember exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah. It's incredible.
So Sabina, let's rewind. At what age did you feel cool? You want to be in this creative world. And how did that journey progress to where we are?
Honestly, I've known that I wanted to do music since I was literally like 5 or 6 years old. And I started taking singing classes when I was like 10. And I'm very blessed and lucky because my parents, they always took my dreams and passions very seriously. Like they could tell how badly I wanted this.
Mm.
So yeah, they've supported me so much from the beginning. And I released my first ever song when I was 14 and then an EP when I was 15. And now I'm currently releasing singles after singles.
And in the correlation to the studying, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Let's unpack your creative brain. So from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song or in writing a song, is it easy every time? What motivates it? Do you create by yourself? Let's unpack Sabina's creative brain.
Okay. So honestly, personally, usually I initially come up with a chord progression and like each section of the song has like different chords depending on the song. And then I come up with different melodies, like a bunch of melodies. And then once I have like a solid melody that I like for each section, I start coming up with the lyrics because you need to know how it like rhythmically fits in each section.
Okay.
And I work with my producer. And just recently I started working with some students from Berklee, like co-writing, collaborating, and it's been lovely. They're so talented and they help me a lot as well. But yeah, there's different ways of approaching music writing.
Because music writing, it's vulnerable. We all know that it's a vulnerability and opening up. So when you are collaborating with someone new, as you mentioned, that you're now collaborating with students at the varsity, is it when you're meeting them, or obviously sometimes there'll be experiences where you just have had a couple of chats or you're meeting them for the first time for that. Mm-hmm. Does it take you a moment to get used to that energy and to be vulnerable? Or do you just say, cool, let's just dive?
Honestly, I think it depends on the individual. Okay. For me, I'm just like, let's get started. Like, okay. I give a concept idea. I usually, when I collaborate, I already have something in mind, and I give like a story behind what I want to write about. And yeah, I mean, the kids are usually very open-minded and very chill, so it's not really difficult to open up and start writing.
You referenced you releasing a bunch of singles. Is it going to accumulate to an album, or are you just feeling things out at the moment?
I definitely want to release an album eventually, but I think before I do that, I need to have like a solid sound. And I'm currently in a stage of experimenting and just like releasing different singles that don't necessarily sound similar, but like, you know, they're the alternative rock genre, but I do like experimenting a lot. So before I release an album, I want to have like a very solid sound and a bigger fan base. And then I'm definitely releasing an album.
So are you experimenting in all different genres just to feel, or you love all of them and that's why you're playing in them?
I feel like I love all of them.
Okay.
And sometimes I have this struggle of, if I listen to this genre of music, am I supposed to make that kind of music? What I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I personally struggle with sometimes. Because I'm like, I listen to a lot of rock and alternative rock, and I'm like, is that where I'm supposed to go, you know? But I also love R&B, soul. Mm. So, yeah, that's why I end up combining a bunch of different genres. Why not? And
when you start writing a song, do you go in knowing, okay, this is going to be a rock song, or this is going to be this type of song, or does it organically flow as you're creating?
I've had both ways, but I feel like usually I have like a solid idea and I'm like, okay, I want it to sound like this. And sometimes I have like tracks that I show to my producer to have like some kind of inspiration. And yeah, and then we start from there. But I usually, I kind of know what kind of genre I want to start with. Yeah.
Tell us about the last couple of singles you released and what's coming up for the rest of the year next year.
Okay. So my most recent singles are Tell Me a Lie and Code Blue. And I have two more singles on the way, which I love. They're literally my favorite songs I've ever written. I'm planning to release them in like maybe a month or two. Okay. I'm still currently recording. And I'm like a crazy perfectionist, so I constantly go back to like fix and change little things. Yeah, they're very vulnerable, also kind of fun, very alternative rock, a little bit of like punk. It's like a mix of a bunch of things.
Okay, yeah. So let's go back to this perfectionism that you referenced. Because I'm also like that. Like, I'll record an intro for my podcast. I'm like, I don't like the way that I said that little word or that letter. I need to go change the whole thing now. And I drive myself mad. I'd like to know when you feel that something is not okay, in inverted commas, do you ever share it with someone else, just get their opinion and allow them to ease you or let you become more observant of it and to let you feel, okay, it's actually okay? Or do you just think, okay, I need to change it?
Okay, so for me, literally the whole world could tell me they like something, but if I don't like I don't like it.
Okay, you know?
But I do have like two people whose opinion I really, like, it really matters to me, and it's my dad and my cousin, also my brother. So if they really like something, it does affect me because, their opinion matters a lot to me, and I know they have good taste. So I guess,
So if they like something that you like about, do you take a step back and like, okay, it's okay?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. If I like it and they like it, I'm like, okay, this is meant to be. It's perfect. I need to do this. Mm-hmm.
So I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. I love the aesthetic of holding something, the journey of the choice, the journey of the unpacking, the booklet, the listening from song 1 to 10 or 15. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, even cassettes and vinyls, are making a massive comeback. Vinyls alone last year in the UK, 5.9 million copies sold, the biggest since 1990. and cassettes and CDs are also on an upward trajectory. But we've also got these streaming platforms whereby people consume music on. What is your observation and perception of the landscape at the moment?
Damn, that's a great question. Personally, I love the fact that vinyls and CDs are coming back. I feel like it makes music feel more real and as if like I can touch it physically.
Yeah.
And it's cute to have like a collection of different vinyls of your favorite songs and artists. And it's just like, it's aesthetically pleasing and it has this like vintage vibe to it, which I love. So yeah, I hope that someday I have my own CDs and vinyls.
And what do you enjoy about performing live?
Ooh, I mean, it's a way to connect with your listeners and your audience. And I feel like sometimes when you perform live, you get to feel the song even more than when you record it. And I think that's so beautiful. I have not performed in a while, actually, so I really need to get back into it. But I do also have anxiety, which is something I need to work on.
Right.
Oh my God, it's so annoying. But, you know, perfectionism, anxiety, they kind of go hand in hand. Yeah, so I'm working on that.
Is the anxiety pre to you getting on stage and then dissipates while you're performing, or is it while you're on stage as well?
Yeah, I'd say I get really anxious right before going on stage and maybe like the first couple minutes, but then I'm like, okay, we're good. Like, I got this. Yeah.
You also reference about feeling the song in a different way to when you recorded it. Is part of that the feedback of the audience and the energy in the room? Does that allow that new feeling, or is it other things?
I'd say so. Yeah, I don't think listeners and the audience realize how important the energy and the feedback is. Like, you really feel it, and it can either make you feel incredible or like absolute shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, for sure.
So I'm that guy that's normally standing up right in front, dancing, jamming, doing my thing. I'll take my phone out and take a couple of videos, a couple of photos, and I'll put it away. I notice that the people around me, they oftentimes 70, 80%, 90% of the time videoing, posting, tweeting, photoing. From your perspective, being on the stage and seeing a bunch of phones, do you feel that takes away from the energy of the interaction with the audience and from them being in the moment? Or it's just where society is at this stage?
You know, I've thought about this question a lot because I do see, like, especially our generation, it's so, we want to capture every moment. And as someone who has, like, idols, I do understand wanting to record it so that you have that permanent memory on your phone. But I also feel like we overdo it because you have to live in the moment. I am, like, for me, being present is the most important thing. Because we're constantly like thinking about the next big thing tomorrow, you know? So yeah, I think there needs to be like a balance, like maybe record one song or like a snippet of a song, but like recording everything is a bit over the top in my opinion.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 8 years, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. But if you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
Okay, I would say Cage the Elephant.
Yes.
The Neighborhood.
Yes.
The Neighborhood is my favorite band of all time. Radiohead, Cigarettes After Sex, Lana Del Rey. I have so many.
So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message, what would you like to say?
Ooh, I would say you should totally check out my music. Follow me on my social media to stay, how do you say it, to stay like stay tuned, stay in touch. Exactly. I have a lot of amazing music coming on the way, and thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook @CelebSavant. That's CelebSavant.